Good morning. Go with me to a small, intimate gathering. It takes place on the hill, just outside the city limits of Jerusalem, a place called the Mount of Olives. We listen as we hear Jesus say to his disciples, "You will be his witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Acts 1, verse 11. Luke tells us that as Jesus was saying these words, he began to ascend into the heavens, into the sky. The group of disciples stood there stunned, surprised, astonished, mesmerized as Jesus began to slowly disappear into the clouds. At that moment, they became aware of two angelic-like beings, two men dressed in white. They said to them, "Why do you stand here gazing into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you one day will come back just as you've seen him go." This promise was not strange to the ears of his apostles. They had heard this before from the lips of Jesus. In Mark 14:62, Jesus affirms that he is indeed the Christ, and that one day all will see him coming in the clouds from the right hand of God. In John chapter 14, Jesus tells us the purpose of his going into heaven and his coming back. "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, these men dressed in white are telling us today that Jesus will one day make another appearance in human history, coming in the clouds of the sky, in the same manner as they had seen him go. We must know that the second coming of Jesus is a major Bible doctrine. The second coming of Christ is mentioned in all but four books in the New Testament. Jesus was constantly referring to his return. There are 318 references to his return in the 216 chapters from Matthew to Revelation. Sheer numbers alone point out the importance of this event. Friends, Jesus is coming again, and we will all stand in his presence. Paul tells us that every eye will see him, every knee will bow in acknowledgement of his deity, every tongue will confess that he is the Son of God. Not only is his coming a major Bible doctrine, the early church, the primitive church of the first century, looked forward to his coming. They lived in daily anticipation of this promised event. They wanted, waited, longed for, and prayed for his return. We've lost this excitement. Instead of anticipating his return, we wish that he would not come today. Isn't that right? Well, what does the Bible teach concerning this final world event? We'll examine the second coming of Jesus by noting the New Testament words used to speak of the event, and then we'll examine the details surrounding his second appearance. Our first word is Maranatha. Maranatha is one of those Aramaic words that was not translated in our King James Bibles. It's a New Testament word found in 1 Corinthians 16:22. And footnoted in the modern speech translations. The King James reads, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha." The New International Version says, "If anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on him. Come, O Lord." With a footnote saying, "Maranatha means Lord, come quickly," or "Come, O Lord." Maranatha became a word of greeting among the early New Testament Christians. The Jews greeted one another with Shalom, peace. We say, "Hi, hello, how are you?" The early Christian said, "Maranatha." Again, the early church anticipated, wanted, and waited for Jesus to return. They expected him to return in their lifetime. They were excited and enthusiastic about this promised event, which would bring three things: the end of time, the presence of Jesus, and the promised reward of heaven. Their anticipation of his coming impacted their lives daily. It changed how they lived. It rearranged their priorities. And this greeting was a daily reminder of their hope. Our next word is parousia. Parousia speaks to us of the imminent, soon-to-be, for-sure coming of Jesus. Parousia says Jesus' coming is a guaranteed event. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3 that even in his day there were those who said, "No, he's not coming." But Peter concludes, "The Lord will come. His coming will be sure, as sure as the flood in Noah's time. It will be like the flood, a surprise event, like a thief in the night." So parousia tells us that Jesus is coming, so be ready. Our next word is epiphania. This is an interesting word that appears six times in the Greek text of our New Testament. Five times it's translated appearing. Once it is rendered brightness. The idea, the connotation, is that there will be a visual sighting of the coming Christ. Outside the Bible, this Greek word is used to describe the sudden brightness of the stars at night. It's like you're sitting outside at dusk and you spot the first evening star. and while you're looking at it, suddenly there are bright stars all around. They're unseen. Then all of a sudden, their brightness is visible to all. The Word tells us that Jesus' coming will be a public event, a worldwide event, an event of such brightness that every eye shall see Him. Are we ready to see Him? Are we? I hope we are. Then there is the word from which we get our word, apocalypse, apocalypsis. In the New Testament, it is always translated reveal. The word literally means to take the cover off or to expose. The idea is this: He has been here all along, but when He comes again, He will be completely known, visible for all to see, both visually and intellectually. We will all see Him visually, and we will all know Him for who He is, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. You see, Jesus is here today, but I don't see Him, do you? Except through the eye of faith. Just like the stars, Jesus is here all along. But at the second coming, His presence will be revealed, uncovered, for all to see. Today, some choose to ignore Jesus, but on that day, all will bow before His presence. I hope that understanding these New Testament words helps convince us that there is a day in the future, perhaps in this very hour, when Jesus will come again, and His presence will be known to all who have ever lived, and I hope it motivates us to be ready. This brings us to the details of His coming. Just what can we expect on that day? We will stay in the Bible. This is no man-made theory, but what the Bible says about the second coming of Jesus. Let's see what we can learn. First, the time of His coming. Everyone wants to know when. It was a question on the lips of the early church and still is a big question today. Perhaps it's a question on your mind. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1-3. Paul says, "But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, Peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief." The New Testament tells us we can know that Jesus is coming. It is a parousia event, a for sure event, but we do not and cannot know the exact time. Jesus tells us that nobody knows except the Father, Matthew 24:36. Secondly, the dead will be raised and we will all be changed. Paul tells us that when Jesus appears again, the following sequence of events can be expected. There will be a loud noise, the trumpet call of the Lord. Jesus will appear in the heavens with His angels in flaming fire. With Him, He will bring those souls who have fallen asleep. The dead bodies of all the ages will be raised. The souls and bodies will be reunited in a new body, an immortal, celestial body that Paul says will be equipped to live forever. Those still living will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, into this immortal state. The dead in Christ will be caught up to meet Jesus in the air to live in His presence forever. And those judged not under the blood of Jesus will be eternally banished to the suffering of hell. Thirdly, when Jesus comes, judgment will take place. When we speak of judgment, we are speaking of the final sentencing of all who have ever lived. 2 Thessalonians 1:6-9 says, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." Jude writes, "The Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of His holy ones to judge." Who? Everyone. "And to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way, and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." The final thing in this sequence is the destruction of the earth. Listen to 2 Peter 3. "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. When we put these scriptures together, we get a good overview of the sights, sounds, sequence, and purpose of his coming. Now, if these things do not fit your ideas, or do not fit what you have read about the second coming, again, let's forget what others say and just allow the Bible to speak. Peter encourages us with these words, "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." 2 Peter 3:14. Question: what kind of changes do you and I need to make as we wait for this second coming event? Perhaps you need to obey the gospel, become a child of God by faith, repentance, confession, and New Testament baptism. Maybe you need to give up some ungodly ways in your life. If there's any way that we can help you, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.